Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'd like to welcome all of you on this first Sunday of the new year. We give thanks to God for all of the blessings that He's showed to us in the year past, and we pray that He continues to guide and lead us in this year that lies ahead. I believe that most of the announcements are in the bulletin. Again, we just wanted to, I know we have a thank you in there, but just again want to thank you for your Christmas gift to us, and what a joy it has been to be able to be here this past year, and we look forward to this year ahead. One announcement maybe they will make is that communion, because of the garland along the rails, that communion this morning will be a continuous rather than tables at the altar. And I think you had an announcement to make.
I just want to apologize. I had Vicar Seminary Carey's address wrong. The correct one is in there now in the bulletin. But also, just to let you know, he has received the cards that were sent, though, even though I had daily spelled wrong and I forgot one of the ones. So he did receive our cards.
Well, let's continue our worship then. We'll begin by singing hymn 409, Hail, O Source of Every Blessing.
Hail, O Source of Every Blessing, Father, Mother, Human Grace, Gentiles, now your grace possessing.
Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us,
so that we may delight in your will
and walk in your ways
to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We will join together now in the responsive speaking of portion of Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law.
It is my meditation all the day.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies.
For it is ever with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers.
For your testimonies are my meditation.
I understand more than the aged.
For I keep your precepts.
I hold back my feet from every evil way.
In order to keep your word.
I do not turn aside from your just decrees.
For you have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste.
Sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your precepts, I get understanding.
Therefore, I hate every false way.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb, who was slain, whose blood
begun his reign. Hallelujah.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God,
you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Christmas is from 1 Kings chapter 3. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a child. I did not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Lord Jesus, we rise for the Alleluia verse and reading of the gospel.
Alleluia, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, my Lord.
The child, Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join in professing our Christian faith as we speak together the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried,
And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures,
and ascended into heaven,
and sits at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead,
whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This is the portion of the service set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. Well, how are you today?
Good.
All right. I'm glad to hear it. Today, well, I want to tell you that there are two things in this room that you can't live without. One of them is God. That's how important these things are. One of them is God. You can't see him. You can't, but you need him. And fact is, he's with you all the time, but you can't see him. And there's another thing in this room that you can't live without, but you also can't see. Any idea what that might be?
Air.
Can you see the air?
No.
Take a deep breath. But yet you can feel it, can't you? Back, put your hand in front of your mouth and blow out, and you can feel it, but you still can't see it. You know that the air is here, but you can't see it.
You can see when it's very cold outside.
Okay, I was going to say, maybe when it's really cold outside, but I didn't think they want us to make that cold in here today, so that we don't want to be able to see our breath. Well, maybe I got an idea. I got a marker. Maybe I can color it. That didn't work. No. So how? Well, give me an idea. How am I going to make you see the air? Oh, I've got an idea.
I can't see it.
Ah, we can see where it is. It's there.
And you can kind
of see it. If the air was here. So that's my way of trying to help you see the air. But you know what? We just came through, we just celebrated Christmas. Yeah, that was good, right? Yeah. And in a way, you know what? That's what God did. Put a skin around himself. He actually became one of us so that people could see God. When people saw Jesus, they were seeing God. And we know all about him. We read all about him in the Bible. And every time you see a picture or a drawing of Jesus, you are seeing God. And we know that he's with us. He became just like you and me. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. That he made himself a person. That he made himself so he could be one of us. So that he could come to be our Savior. And so now we still see him today. We see pictures. We see him in the nativity scene. We remember that God came to earth. Jesus held children in his lap. He made sick people well. And he especially remembered that he died on the cross for us. And all of those pictures, all of those things remind us that God has come to be with us. That he was born for you. That's how much he loves you, and he knows you by name. That's all for this morning. I guess you can.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We continue our worship singing the hymn Within the Father's House. Mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text from the Gospel, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" This is our text. Please be seated. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you this day and in this year that lies ahead. This new year, I resolve to be greedier, meaner, and nastier than ever before. I resolve to drink more beer, eat more fried foods, smoke more cigars, watch more TV, and exercise less. I'm hoping to make this the laziest, least productive year ever. Finally, some resolutions that I can keep. Of course, I hope by now that you realize that I'm not serious about those resolutions. I mean, honestly, who would ever make those resolutions? I mean, that's just not the way that it's done. I mean, it doesn't matter where you call home. People all over the world make resolutions at this time of year with the intention of improving themselves. I mean, we resolve to do less of the bad and more of the good. I mean, it's a new year, a clean slate. And what better way to start the new year off than with a new and improved you. That being the case, it should come as no surprise that many a Christian likes to make resolutions involving a new and improved version of the self. I mean, even if we don't make the typical resolutions involving diets and exercise and such, I mean, we do tend to resolve to read our Bibles more, attend more Bible studies, volunteer more, give more. I mean, things like that. I mean, we hope to resolve ourselves from the old Adam into a new and improved Adam. The new and improved version that's far more faithful and far less sinful. And you know what? That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I encourage you all the way. But I hope that you will recognize the sin staring back at you from the mirror and that you want to do something about it. And I certainly hope that you would want to bring about positive, faithful change in your life. I mean, that's part of what true repentance is, a turning away from the sin, a going and sinning no more. But here's the one thing that I want to hit on today. Did you notice that even those good, very good, and faithful, repentant resolutions still focus on ourselves? But at the start of the new year, the question is, but what about God? I mean, when you get down to it, all of these resolutions, as good as they are still ultimately concerned with my will. What about thy will? What about God's will? I mean, that's really what the lessons today are all about, particularly Old Testament and the Gospel lesson. Those lessons are about trust. That is, trusting in God above all things. Trusting that God knows what he's doing. That he knows just the right time for things to happen. Even when it seems like the worst possible time for us, he knows just the right way for all things to happen so that they benefit all those who love him and hold fast to him in repentant faith and trust. Even when it seems like his way is the worst possible way, the least desirable way. And I say all of this first and foremost because, you know, there's a lot of good sermon material in these texts, especially the gospel lesson. I mean, we could have a whole series of sermons on the right and the wrong aspects of seeking God and when and where he is to be found, right here in his holy house on his day of new creation and resurrection. I mean, so many people are seeking God, seeking Jesus, and seeking peace in all of the wrong places. You can just hear, boy, Jesus' words sounding out. Why are you looking for me and my peace everywhere but here? Why aren't you looking here? Why isn't this the first and the only place that you would look? Where else would I be? Don't you know that, of course, that I would be in my Father's holy house doing his will? In the end, the central issue is trust in God above all things. Trust in his good and gracious will. I mean, that's what Solomon asked for when God gave him the opportunity to ask for whatever he wanted. Solomon didn't ask for the things that we would. His request didn't sound at all like our resolutions. He didn't ask for more riches or more fame or a better body or a better job or a better house or anything like that. He simply asked that God would grant him the ability to not only know his divine will, but the ability and the willingness to do that will, trusting that God was working all things for the good of his people. That's exactly what the boy Jesus exemplified in the temple. I mean, people often make the assumption that because he caused such a worry and such a ruckus with his mom and dad, that he sinned. However, they say because he was still a child, the sin didn't count. But I want you to know that's simply not true. Jesus didn't sin, ever. He simply did his heavenly Father's will. Even if it meant that those that were closest to him in his earthly home were going to be upset and worried and not pleased with him and his choices, but he trusted that his heavenly Father knew what he was doing. Jesus trusted, and he did his Father's will. And that, my friends, is what I want to ultimately direct you to as we begin another year by God's good grace and favor. I direct you to the cross of Jesus Christ, because here is God's unconditional love for you. I want you to think about all of this for a moment. This is God's plan for your salvation. This is God's answer to your death sentence of sin, that he kills his own son so that you can have the gift of life. Jesus Christ is full God. He knew this plan full well. It didn't come as a surprise or a plot twist to him on Good Friday. Jesus had prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And then he did it. He obeyed. He willingly and humbly and obediently conformed his life to the will of his heavenly Father. And I say all this because I'm well aware of how life in this fallen and sinful world works. Nothing ever seems to go as planned. I mean, if only we were in charge, right? If only people did what we wanted, what we thought was best. If only things worked out the way that we drew plans up. But they don't. And I'm going to tell you, this year won't be any different. Certain things won't go as you think they should. Accolades will be given to people that you think don't deserve them. And people who you think are deserving of praise and honor will not be celebrated. And you're going to wonder if God knows the great injustices that are taking place. The fact is, votes won't go your way. Moves will or won't happen. And it'll drive you nuts, because you had hoped and planned differently. Leaders, pastors included, will stumble and let you down. And there'll be no shortage of armchair quarterbacking and opinions and complaints. Sickness and death will rear its ugly and unexpected head, either in your life or in the life of someone close to you. Someone that you feel is not deserving of such misery and suffering. Financial situations will cause you grief and worry and anger. Why me, Lord? What have I done to deserve this? And basically, your will won't be done, and it'll cause problems. But you know, that's just like last year, and the year before, and every year since the day that our first father and mother fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. I said it before, and I will say it again. Look here. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ now and always. Look to him and only to him, because here is the peace that passes all understanding. Nobody, including God, ever said that the life of a Christian would be easy or be some overnight success story. The way of the Christian is the way of Christ, and it's a way that necessarily included a cross. How many Christians, how many truly faithful Christians lost their life to gladiators and lions while serving as the main event at the Roman Colosseum? Remember that our crosses, humbly born in faith, can and do point others to the cross of Christ. And now, as we enter into a truly new year, I'll tell you to feel free to make your resolutions if you haven't already. Try your very best to lose weight, or to give up smoking, or to read more, or whatever it is that you resolve to do or not do in this new year. However, as you enter into this new year as Christians who are called to daily live and proclaim the gospel promise of God in our daily lives, I want you to remember whose timeline and whose plan we are dealing with. Remember that God's plan is eternal and it's already accomplished in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, that tells you how much God loves you. And may you have a blessed new year. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
Gracious God, we bring our gifts before your altar, returning just a portion of the blessings you have shown to us. Lord, take them and make them useful for the work of your church in this year that lies ahead. We pray that your word might be faithfully proclaimed and that your spirit would work through the hearts and lives of all those who hear it. Lord, we pray that one day all people might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the wisdom of God's word and a mind to discern truth from error, that we may know Jesus Christ and not depart from him amid amidst the winds of change and doubt that challenge our faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, blessed in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the preaching of the gospel of salvation and the seal of the promised Holy Spirit in baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would raise up faithful preachers among us to the praise of Christ's glory until we acquire the inheritance promised us in him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents and their children, that they would be given the wisdom and courage to know Christ as Savior and Redeemer, and to gather around the word and sacraments, and that the Lord would help parents form within their children the knowledge of and the will to do what is right according to God's word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, the Congress, our governor, our legislature, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that the Lord would make them wise and give them a discerning heart in pursuit of justice for the offender, peace between nations, and protection for the unborn and those least able to defend themselves. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and everyone in any kind of need, especially remembering Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Gary and Bill, Bryston and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Vicky and Jama, Judy and Kyle, Sarah and Marilyn, Renee and Michelle, Diana, and all of those others, Lord, who we name before you in our hearts. For patience and healing, according to God's will, for those who mourn, and in thanksgiving for every blessing and kindness shown to us in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious and loving God, we also raise up special prayers of joy and thanksgiving this day. We remember, O Lord of life, Larry Hesterman, as he celebrates his birthday this week. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings shown to him and ask your continued loving presence to be upon him. Keep him now and always as your very own. Gracious God, in thanksgiving, we join our prayers with Ray and Kay Dravis as they celebrate their wedding anniversary. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've shown them in the past, and ask your continued loving blessing to be upon them in their home, strengthening them in love toward each other and in love toward you. And now, O Lord, that we, like Blessed Mary, may know what is worthy of our attention and what will pass away, and that approaching the table of our Lord, we may be well prepared to receive his flesh for the life of the world, and his blood that cleanses us from all sin. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever
and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Father, Almighty Father, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Let my God here take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Let my God here take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Let my God here take away
now. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. The peace of the Lord be with you now and always. Amen.
And leads his people.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all of your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. We continue our worship singing the closing hymn, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.